Well, today is Palm Sunday. This is the morning when we commemorate the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And as Jesus entered the holy city, the Bible says that people gathered around him waving palm branches and laying them down before him in his path as he entered the gates of the city. Palm Sunday is one of the few events that is recorded in all four of the Gospels, in Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, and here in John chapter 12. Palm Sunday is the beginning of what we call Holy Week in Christianity. You see, Palm Sunday for Jesus was the beginning of the end. For Jesus entered Jerusalem on this day not to visit the city and not only to celebrate the feast, but Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday because of God's plan of redemption that had been established before the world began. You see, Jesus entered into that city because he was on the way to offer himself as the sacrifice for our sins. And this is an important day to remember, and I pray that its meaning would sink into every heart today. I want to briefly share with you today five truths that Palm Sunday teaches us about the coming of Jesus. Number one is that Jesus comes in peace. Come on, somebody say peace. John chapter 12, verse 14. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it. As it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Now, when I was a child growing up in church on Palm Sunday, I would always wonder to myself. I was kind of like the disciples were. I was a little confused about this thing. I wondered to myself, why did it have to be a stinking donkey? Now, I grew up out in the country, out in the sticks. And one day, our neighbor had a donkey. Those things are nasty. Because one day his donkey done R-U-N-N-O-F-T, okay? It got loose and it ended up in our front yard. And here was this nasty, loud, old, stinky donkey. And I remember as a child sitting in church on Palm Sunday thinking, Lord, I want to see Jesus riding on a big old stallion. A big old Clydesdale with bulging muscles and shooting lasers out of his eyes. I mean, I want Jesus riding on a big old monster. But no, he rode on a donkey. And this was significant for a couple of reasons. First of all, the donkey signified peace. You see, in times of war, people would ride horses. They would ride horses into battle, but you didn't ride a donkey into battle. See, a donkey wasn't made for times of war. A donkey was made for times of peace. And what Jesus was saying, riding on a donkey, is that I'm not coming in war. I'm coming in peace. I've already won the battle, and I am bringing peace to all who would receive me. Did you know that real peace only comes from Jesus? You can't have true peace in your heart. You can't have true peace in your mind apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Colossians 3, 15 tells us, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you were called into one body. Be thankful. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And this is what the Bible says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prophet Isaiah said that Jesus would be called the Prince of Peace. In the Hebrew language, that term Prince of Peace are the words Sar Shalom. Tell somebody, Sar Shalom. That word shalom is the word that people use to greet each other in ancient times. So just greet your neighbor, look at him, and say shalom. Look at somebody else and say shalom. That word means peace. It's the same root word as the Arabic word salam. And when people greet each other in the Arab world, they say assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. And the response would be alaikum salam, and to you as well. So shalom, like salam, means peace. But the Hebrew word shalom means much more than simply peace. In the Hebrew language, the word shalom literally means nothing broken and nothing missing. I want you to say that. Say nothing broken and nothing missing. So when the Bible promises us peace through Jesus Christ, it's not promising that he's going to make everything in life easy. He's not promising that he's going to make all your troubles fade away. No, this is what Jesus promised, that he's going to heal every brokenness in your life and he's going to restore everything that's missing. When you have the peace of God through Jesus Christ, your life can be falling apart on the outside and you can have total peace on the inside. He is the Prince of Peace. Nothing broken, nothing missing. He is the one who restores the brokenness and makes us whole and complete. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:6, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Notice that peace is directly connected with his position and with his authority. He is the Prince of Peace. Not just the bringer of peace, he is the Prince of Peace. He's not just Shalom, he's the Sar Shalom. That word Sar, when translated in Latin, is the word Caesar. Sar means absolute ruler. So Jesus is the absolute ruler of peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Here again, the words government and peace are together. That's talking about the lordship of Jesus Christ. You cannot have his peace apart from his government. You cannot enjoy his peace if you are not submitted to his lordship. Does that mean we can call ourselves Christians and live however we want and still have peace? Absolutely not. You can't sleep around on Saturday night and expect to wake up with peace on Sunday morning. Why? Because you're not living under the lordship of Jesus. Married couple can't get in a fight and cuss and throw stuff and then expect to have the peace of God in your marriage. Why? Because you're not living under the lordship of Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and there is no peace apart from his lordship. But here's the good news. When we live under the authority and the rule of Jesus, he gives us the kind of peace that other people cannot comprehend. I've seen this kind of peace in my own family. Our son Hudson, he's getting ready to turn 4 years old in a few weeks, and I cannot believe how quickly those 4 years have gone by. But right after Hudson was born, just a few weeks after his birth, the doctor looked at my grandmother and said, Janet, you're dying and there's nothing we can do to help you. And in a moment where so many people would completely fall apart, she looked back at that doctor and she said, it's all right. She said, whether I live or whether I die, I have the peace of God in my life, and either way, I win. When you are under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you can have peace on the worst day of your life. Listen, peace has nothing to do with the amount of money you have in the bank, has nothing to do with how successful you are or how many friends you have. Peace comes down to one question and one question only, and that is, who is on the throne in your life? Because peace, real peace, comes from Jesus. Some of you, your life is in chaos right now. Things in your life are going haywire and you don't have any peace. Listen to what Jesus said. He said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. Whose peace did Jesus say he will give us? Yeah. Not our peace. Not my peace. His peace. I'll give you a practical illustration of this. My wife and I were newlyweds, and we were in love, and we were just broke as could be. When I went to McDonald's, I'd go just get a bunch of ketchup packs and some salt and pepper and some napkins. Y'all know, anybody ever been there? Yeah, y'all too bougie to raise your hand in church and admit that. I see y'all at Chick-fil-A getting that ketchup. I just take water, thank you. See, Chick-fil-A gives free water. McDonald's, you want a large water, they charge you. Chick-fil-A is free. I'm just helping y'all out today. But we were young and in love and poor, and we bought an old dilapidated house. It was all kinds of messed up, had all kinds of problems. And I couldn't afford to hire an electrician, so I had to do the electrical work myself. And I'd never done electrical work before. And I could just picture in my mind, okay, I could picture in my mind sticking a screwdriver in a socket and then lighting up like they do in the cartoons. I was troubled. I had no peace about dealing with electricity. But just a few blocks from where we live, my grandfather lived. And I called him over, and he'd been working, doing electrical work for 50 years. Now, I did the work, but he watched me. He stayed there with me, and he guided me, and he told me what to do, and I had peace in that moment. And it wasn't my peace, it was his peace. Church, it's not about who you are, it's about who you know. Because you can face a situation that will make somebody in the world lose their mind. But if you have Jesus in your life, if you've been walking with God, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, I'm not going to worry about it. It's not about me. It's about the one I know. Because he's with me. And he said, I'll give you my peace. He is Prince of Peace. Come on, tell somebody, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So the donkey was a symbol of peace, and it was also the fulfillment of prophecy. Because 550 years earlier, Zechariah said this, Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, and he is just, and he has salvation, and he's lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. The fact that Jesus rode on a donkey and fulfilled prophecy from 550 years before tells me that the word of God is more reliable than the opinions of man. Five things that Palm Sunday tells us about Jesus. Number one, Jesus comes in peace. But number two, Jesus comes in victory. Yes. Jesus comes in victory. In ancient times, palm branches symbolized victory. With palm branches, they celebrated the victory that Jesus gave us over sin and death. The palm branch meant we won. The battle is over, and we're on the winning side. Palm branches symbolized victory. That's why in ancient times you would find palm branches on coins and on buildings and on columns and in inscriptions. In fact, Solomon had palm branches carved into the walls and the doors of the temple in Jerusalem. Why palm branches? Because Jesus comes in victory. He said in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know what? Jesus didn't just stop there. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took the keys of death, of hell, and of the grave, and he led captivity captive. Death couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't hold him. Nothing could stand in his way. Come on, tell somebody, we've got victory in Jesus. Revelation 7:9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, hallelujah, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Church, when we get to heaven, just like they did as Jesus marched into Jerusalem, we're going to be waving palm branches before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as a symbol of victory. With people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. Palm branches lifted high. We're going to shout the victory in Jesus' name. Revelation 7:9 tells me that every Sunday is Palm Sunday in heaven. We're going to have a time, y'all. I'm convinced that the church is far too quiet. That we're far too calm. If you get nervous in the service, you might not like heaven, because heaven's going to be a loud place. Heaven's going to be a party like no other party. For 10,000 years, we're going to wave palm branches and shout victory in Jesus. We'll sing his praise forever. I better move on. Five things Palm Sunday tells us about Jesus. Number one, Jesus comes in peace. Number two, Jesus comes in victory. And number three, Jesus comes on the generosity of others. Church, we live in a selfish world. People are trying to get as much as they can get and take as much as they can take. But Jesus taught us that there is greater blessing in the giving than in the getting. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Have you noticed that the kingdom of God will change the way you see things? Have y'all noticed that? When you are born again, when you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, when you've been translated from death into life, when you've been adopted into the family of God, it changes the way you look at everything. It'll change the way you look at yourself. It'll change the way you look at other people. Oh, you used to hate people before you got saved. But now that you're a child of God, when you look at them, you can't help but see the somebody that Jesus died on the cross to save. When you were out in the world, you hated everybody. But now the Spirit of God inside you, I like that song, "Give Me That Old Time Religion." It makes me love everybody. The Holy Spirit of God inside you won't let you hate anybody. Because if you hate your fellow man, you don't belong to God and you are none of his. Don't even know him. When you're in the kingdom, it changes the way you look at everybody. You look at somebody you used to hate. You look at somebody of another race, another ethnic group that you used to hate, that used to use slurs about. And when you look at them, you don't see them like you used to. Oh, you see the image of God. You're not there yet. You'll get there. If you belong to Jesus, he won't let you hate anybody. When you're a part of the kingdom, it changes the way you look at money. Oh, he's gone to meddling on Palm Sunday. I'm telling y'all, when I read this story, it jumped out of the page, and I am obligated by God to tell you what the Holy Spirit showed me about this passage. When you're part of the kingdom, it changes the way you look at everything. When you're part of the kingdom of God, you look at Psalm 24:1 that says, "The earth is the Lord's and its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein, it all belongs to him." When you become a part of the kingdom of God, you realize you don't really own anything. That we are just here to take care of his stuff. When you're part of the kingdom, you understand that everything belongs to the King. Everything belongs to the King. And it's incredible responsibility that God has given to us to fund the mission of the kingdom. Heard about a pastor who stood up on a Sunday morning and told the congregation, I've got good news and I've got bad news. And he said, the good news is God has sent us enough money to pay off the mortgage. And everybody jumped up and shouted and praised God. And he said, but the bad news is it is still sitting in your bank accounts. Reinhard Bonnke, the great missionary to Africa, once said, a lot of people give God credit, but sometimes he needs a little cash. One of the amazing truths of the kingdom of God is that it's based entirely on the generosity of believers. I don't know if y'all have noticed that, but Christian television, by and large, has no commercials. Why? Because it's a kingdom principle that ministry is funded not by doing business with the world, but by the generosity of believers. But I want y'all to see what God showed me. I'd heard this passage preached 1,000 times. I've read it so many times. But something just jumped off the pages at me. Look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. This is the same account of the same event in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 11 verse 1 says that when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, in other words, they were passing through Mount Olive. I hope he was on the way to Goldsboro and not going to Calypso. So they're going through Mount Olive, and he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way. They found the colt. They tied it by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart as I was studying this passage, is that Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donated donkey. You see, Jesus Christ comes riding on the generosity of others. And when you invest into ministry, it's not about the building, it's not about the mortgage, it's not about the signage, it's not about the supplies. When you invest in ministry, it's about reaching people with the hope of Jesus Christ. Because even today, Jesus comes on the generosity of others. Child of God, be encouraged this morning. There are many, 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 many times where Jesus comes into the life of other people riding on your generosity. Number one, Jesus comes in peace. Number two, Jesus comes in victory. Number three, Jesus comes on the generosity of others. And number four, Jesus comes amidst the praises of his people. 22nd Psalm tells us that God inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people. Jesus said in Matthew 18 verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And I like to sit out in the lobby on Sunday morning, and once the second person's come through the door, I say, Lord, we've met the required minimum. I know that you're going to be in the midst of us today. Two of y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. Listen, I can't explain it, but I believe it because Jesus said it, that when we gather in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus shows up in the midst of us. And there's something special about the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and of things under the earth. That tells me there are three realms where the name of Jesus is spoken. When the name of Jesus is spoken in heaven, angels veil their faces. When the name of Jesus is spoken on earth, men erupt in praise. When the name of Jesus is spoken in the depths of hell, demons tremble in fear. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of the Father. Every tongue will confess. One day every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every president, every ruler of every nation, every senator, every congressman. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. One day the Muslim imam that's saying assalamu alaikum, one day he's going to kneel and say Jesus Christ is Lord. One day the Hindu who's worshipped the cow, one day he's going to stand face to face with the one who made the cow and he's going to say Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. And on Palm Sunday, as Jesus entered the holy city, the Bible says that people began to shout his praise. Luke 19, verse 37, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God. Not quietly, but in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Church, I dare you, if Jesus has ever done a miracle in your life, I dare you right now on this Palm Sunday just to stand up and give God a radical shout of praise. Come on, lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. We glorify you, Jesus. Your name is above every name. Your name is greater. Your name is stronger. Thank you, Jesus. There is power in your name. There is healing in your name. There is freedom in your name. There is deliverance in your name. Oh, Jesus, we praise you this morning. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Your name is above every name. Church, when you know him, you know the doctor in the sick room. When you know him, you've got a lawyer in the courtroom. When you know him, you've got a father to the fatherless. When you know him, you've got bread in the time of famine, because there is power in the name of Jesus. That name is all powerful. That name is altogether holy. That name is altogether lovely. That name is altogether worthy. That name is altogether wonderful. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, you saved us. You set us free. Lord, you give us peace, God. When we don't have a reason to be happy, Lord, we have the joy of the Lord, and we thank you. They begin to praise God in a loud voice, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you for every miracle. Lord, for every time you've saved my life. Lord, for every time you've healed my body. Every time you've given me peace to my troubled mind. Every time you've intervened in my family. Every time you've touched my house. Thank you, Jesus. They were praising the name of Jesus. And the old religious church folks got mad about it. They said, Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. I don't know about you, but I refuse to let a rock out praise me. Jesus didn't shed his blood on the cross for a rock. He bled for me. Jesus didn't bear the stripes in his back for a rock. Jesus healed me. And I will not let a rock out praise me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Remain standing as the musicians come. Jesus comes amidst the praises of his people. And my last point today is that Jesus comes to those who receive him. Jesus comes to those who receive him. Oh, a whole lot of people. They cheered for Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. But they turned and ran when he was nailed to the cross. It's not enough just to praise him with your mouth. You got to make him the Lord of your life. John 1:12 says in the word of God, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And on this Palm Sunday, we focus on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but I want to ask you the all-important question this morning. Has Jesus made his triumphal entry into your life? Has Jesus entered the gates of your city? Has Jesus entered your heart? If you're here today and you do not have the peace of God, you don't have peace in your mind, you don't have peace in your heart, you don't have peace in your life, you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding if you trust in Jesus. Surrender your life to him. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you in every trial, every heartache, every trouble, every pain, every season of life. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's take a moment and pray this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence moving so strongly in this place. I thank you for the word of God that you delivered to us today. And Lord, I pray for every person here who doesn't know the Lord, who doesn't have the peace that comes from Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that they would be woman enough and they would be man enough, that they would be bold enough today to say, I'm making Jesus the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, move upon every heart. Father, draw them as we lift up the name of Jesus in this place today. God's plan of salvation is really very simple. I tell people it's as simple as ABC. A, admit that you need to be saved. Well, that's easy right there. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us, we've all messed up. A, admit that you need to be saved. B, believe that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father unless he goes through me. Church, there are not many ways to God. There are not many paths to God. There is one way, and there was one way only, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door by which all men enter. Jesus is the only way of salvation. And the good news is that he gives it freely to all who would receive him. A, admit that you need to be saved. B, believe that Jesus is the Savior. And three, commit your life to follow Him. Salvation is more than just saying a prayer and making a decision. It's a daily journey of submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing about Jesus, if you trust me, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. You can have His peace. And I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith today. And then I'm going to challenge the congregation. Y'all ready? Come on, let's pray this prayer. I want to ask everybody here, let's pray this prayer out loud together in support of those who are trusting in Jesus this morning. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You died on the cross, that God raised You from the dead. And Jesus, come into my heart. Enter the gates of my city. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, with Your help, I will trust You. I will follow You. I will live for You the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it with all your heart, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. The Bible says that your sins are washed away. You are a new creation. You are a child of God. Now I want you to make a declaration with me. And this is something some of y'all need to tell yourself every day. Come on, just throw up your hands and make this declaration of faith. Come on, say, I'm forgiven.
I'm
set free.
My sins have been washed away. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I belong to Jesus, and Jesus is mine. Come on, just celebrate that for a moment today. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. We glorify Your name. Oh, thank You, Lord.